and gents. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Supergirl Season 2, Episode 8, Medusa After Show. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello. Welcome back. So glad to have you. Aw, yeah. Feel it, everyone. Feel it. I don't see you feeling it. Seriously, though, welcome back. This is the beginning of our 4-episode crossover, starting with Supergirl, and I can't handle this all by myself, so I'm joined by the lovely Stephanie Winger.
Hi, guys. Well, good to be back with you. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stephanie Winger.
And Lex Michael.
Hi, I am Lex Michael. I'm here. I'm super pumped. I am all over social media at the Lex Michael.
And since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And joining us specially for today for this wonderful crossover event, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET.
Awesome. Guys, what did you think about this sweet, sweet episode?
Well, I'm only going to talk for the last 45 seconds or so because that's all the crossover we have.
Sweet. All right. Cut off her camera. Cut off her mics. We'll see you in a little bit.
You hush.
But no, like, I feel like it was a very eventful episode. It's as if, for those who don't know, it's our mid-season finale. So we got a lot of strings that were wrapped up, a lot of different things that opened up for us. If one would say, emotionally.
Sure.
Yeah, feelings.
Cosmically.
Some portals were opened for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
physically.
Indeed.
Definitely physically.
That's what she said.
Okay, guys, get your mind out of the gut. This is a family show.
We live there.
I mean, general thoughts about the episode, I'd say.
Well, okay, so as a mid-season finale for Supergirl, I mostly really liked it. As a beginning of a crossover, I mean, it was a crossover, sort of. It was a crossover mostly in name only. It really was only the last minute or so, which I don't know about you guys. A part of me expected that to be the case.
Yeah.
Going in. But I think they had a lot to do wrapping up Supergirl for this half of the season. I think Supergirl's ending a couple weeks before some of the other shows. Mm-hmm. So I think they needed this time, and I think it was well spent with all of the characters that we've been tracking. And as we start breaking down some of the individual plot threads, there's some stuff that I am not completely over the moon about, but overall, most of it worked pretty well for me.
Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I expected the crossover to be brief just because, like we say, Supergirl is in another dimension. So there's going to have an explanation on how this is happening. And who better than Barry and Cisco to pop up? But I was kind of hoping they'd had the whole team already, but I guess we're going to see the team up as we go further into the crossover.
Yeah, and I did like that. Yeah. We got, throughout the course of the episode a couple of times, we got the portals showing up, so we got a sense of, okay, eventually they're going to come through, but it was the last minute or so.
And they would just show up at the best time.
The conveniently distracting portals were both the best and worst plot device in this episode, because on one hand, it's like, really? Really? And on the other hand, it's like, well, Barry has been spending his entire season ruining everything. Let's continue with the trend and make it useful. So I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I thought that was an interesting way of kind of getting to the crossover. I wish they had gotten there a little sooner. I was saying this off camera. It bothered me that it wasn't quite as
integrated
as you might like. It was that last 45 seconds or minute, whatever you want to say. I love Grant Gustin. It would have been fun to have even him a little bit more. Other than that, I thought it was a great mid-season finale. I just wanted, I thought that some of the relationship stuff that happened, we'll get into it, was really exciting for the show and where we'll go in the second half of the season. But, yeah, wanted a little more crossover.
Yeah, we talked super briefly while we were watching the episode right after we finished, and I think they're talking in the chat a little bit about how the crossover element of this episode was really more like a tag on the end of a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was, here's your 35 seconds. We're going to get you excited for Marvel movies. It's 3 years from now, and for this, it's like, okay, you know, tomorrow night, you should watch Flash, even if you don't, and then you should watch Arrow, even if you don't. These are all integrated, and you'll be very confused.
I did really like that it ended on a big title that's it to be continued on the Flash, and you get the big Flash logo. Yeah, it's like,
great. Well, yeah. It's like Captain America will return in The Avengers. Like, right. All right, we got it. We're good.
Yeah. Except Thanos will not return in any of them, no matter how many of those he's on.
I mean, he'll peek his head in and be like, is it my time? No, okay, that's fine.
Hey, I'll guys, wait. What's happening in the stinger? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'll do it myself in 3 years.
I'm just expecting, like, ceiling Thanos coming out of the vent, like ceiling cat popping out. Hey, who's there? Okay, fine. I'll leave. Bye.
But I will, contrary to statements, I feel like I liked the little amount of crossover that we got because I am someone who watches all of them, all the shows. But if I wasn't, and I was someone who poured it over from CBS, and I say I don't watch the other ones, then it was perfect because I got all of the storyline that I wanted wrapped up, and then but it also allows me to feel like I'm part of this greater universe. In that, like, if I knew what the portals were, then I'm like, oh, it's the Flash. But if I didn't, I'd just be like, this is weird.
Right.
And then you get the little piece of the familiar from the last season where you met the Flash, you see him again, and then she's being called over. It would have aggravated me if we've been dealing with all this Cyborg Superman stuff, and then at the beginning of the episode, he's like, I need your help. And she's like, well, okay.
All right.
Yeah,
Cadmus
sure.
will wait a week, however long it is.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a really good thing that Supergirl airs on Monday nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, let's be real.
I mean, too, I agree with you. And like I said, if it had not been the mid-season finale tonight and we had had more time to spend wrapping up some of these threads before moving into the crossover, then I maybe would have been a little bit more open to the idea of, yeah, let's spend more time in the episode crossing over like Barry and Cisco and having them spend time in this world for more of the 40-minute block. But because we didn't have that time, then ultimately I agree. I think that was probably the best way to appease everybody.
Yeah, right. It was the best way to do it the way that they did it, but honestly, I would have loved an episode where let's not just bring Kara over, let's bring John, let's bring, you know, half the crew, let's do this.
Yeah, sure. And right. A bunch of people want to see Cisco freak out over John Johns. Oh, that would be cool. But yeah. One of the best comments here in the chat is Vidar DJ 16 Starkill, Barry Cockblock, three different people survives reveals. Bravo, Barry. They just
really do.
I mean, hashtag it's Barry's fault. Thanks, Kal-El Kent. Yeah, he's in our chat.
Nice. No. Wow.
You know the person who'd really freak out over Jean? Diggle.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I think his head would explode.
You'd be like, bro, he's an alien?
Did I cut you off?
Or no, you're fine. Yeah. Keep going.
All right. Well, let's start getting into the nitty-gritty of this episode because there's a lot to unpack. And so we have this virus that was created by Kara's parents that will only target non-Kryptonians, which I guess it can also be rewritten to target whomever you want to be the exception.
Sure. I'm kind of bothered that they never actually addressed that in the show. Like, they must have rewritten it to target everyone but Kryptonians and humans. Like, right. Otherwise it should have murdered literally everyone in that bar.
Yeah, that was a thing. Unless everyone else in that bar was Kryptonian. Because it was an alien
bar. This would be a different show.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of Kryptonian refugees from Fort Ross and things like that. But
that's
like,
true.
Yes, that was a slight oversight in that there were a bunch of people who survived, and they're like, it must have been Kryptonians.
Keeping up with the Kryptonians, the new reality show.
I would watch that TV program.
I would also watch that. But only if it took place on Krypton.
Well, there is a show coming on Sci-Fi that will.
I know.
So,
yeah.
It's going to be great.
optimism.
So, yeah. And I like the moment that we get with where Kara further being disenfranchised with her parents. Like, in the beginning of this show, we get her being like, my parents are the greatest! And you slowly realize that they were, I won't use the term monsters, but, like, they definitely were not hands-free of blood-free hands that they did not have.
Right, despite arguably yes. having the best intentions, right? Their idea was the defense of Krypton, but it's like, I mean, the most immediately obvious analog is, like, what if you found out that your parents created the atomic bomb, for example?
Right.
That's a really heady pill to swallow, and it definitely shakes the foundation of what you believe that relationship to be, and we see that happening. We don't get maybe as much time in the episode to really focus on that question and really explore the implications and the ramifications of it, but there's a lot going on. There's robots to hit and stuff. But I thought that was a really interesting idea.
Well, right. And my parents aren't everything I thought they were. For one, Kara, you were like, what, 12, 14 at the time? You still kind of think your parents are amazing when you are 12/14, so yeah. And the other thing is, it's old ground to tread for Kara. We went over this so much in season one, finding out what her mother was involved in and capable of, finding out that not everything was always on the up and up. You learn more as an adult than you did as a kid. So having yet another breakdown over, oh my God, my father was just as bad, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt.
Yeah, and it's still not worse than your dad being a DJ.
Get out of here.
I mean, my dad was in the military, and I have heard some stories. So there's, yeah, I can understand where she's coming from, but in terms of writing, we've seen this before.
Sort of, though it's one thing to have your, like, aunt arrested, and another to basically create a genocide virus.
That's true. My dad never did that.
No, I think that what's interesting is, I think at this point, especially having it in the mid-season finale, they're using it as a device now, hopefully to evolve her character in the second half of the season, which is more like we saw her coming to realizations in season one, but now hopefully it will encourage her to do good and kind of continue on the path she's been on, but maybe push it even further to do good for more people and maybe get into some medical stuff. I don't know. I could see this kind of pushing her in a career path.
Yeah. It's like Dr. Supergirl. And like, it'd be great. It's a little Doogie Howser-y, but I like it. And she Dr. flies around
Kara.
The hospital.
Yeah,
and like,
it'd be cool.
Dr. Kara, medicine woman.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. She can ride a horse. And because she's so strong, she can fly with the horse so it looks like Pegasus. Awesome. Green light. All right.
The crossover I never knew I wanted.
cauterizing wounds with heat vision. Anyways.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Ugh. So in this whole thing with the virus... We get Cadmus sending Cyborg Superman on assorted missions. Yes, Cyborg Superman.
Okay, two things. One, I love this we saw already, though. I love how aggressively he wants to assert that his name is Cyborg Superman, even when the situation doesn't necessarily call for it. It's ridiculous, and I love it. The other thing that I feel I lack the vocabulary to describe how deeply amused by this I am. I like that he's trying to hide the fact that a quarter of his face is a horribly disfigured robot visage, and he chooses to disguise it by wearing a mask of the same horrible robot face.
He's
that
a
he
fan
actually
of the
has.
Opera.
For a second, yeah, a little bit.
He's
for a
Cyborg
second,
Superman.
Of the opera.
Well, I spent a lot of the episode going, all right, this is not the best effect I've ever seen on this show, but there's a lot of effect stuff going on. Maybe they just shortchanged the Cyborg Superman face look this episode, and then he pulls it off, and I'm like, nope, this is just genius. This is just pure beauty.
And how awesome was it to end with Kara being like, you may be a cyborg, but you're no Superman.
I'm glad I said that. Because we were having a discussion after last week's show about how Cyborg Superman is essentially naming himself after the very thing that
he hates.
Right.
So I'm glad that she's like, dude, you ain't Superman, bro.
Right.
So that was nice.
See, remember this... John Racism?
Yeah, no. I do remember that. We are not going to bring John Racism into this. It's an inside joke. We'll explain it later.
I'm going to start telling Jay Garrick jokes, and then everyone will be confused.
So what were you going to say, Stephanie?
Oh, I was going to say that I feel like the Cyborg Superman thing was probably the most forced storyline that we've seen this season on the show. Like, not that I disliked it. I just felt like it was like it needed a little more time in some ways. Like, I was like, ooh, we're really trying to get it in this mid-season finale. I didn't need it tonight, necessarily. There was so much else.
Is he dead?
Didn't he? He pieced at the end. He, like, ghosted,
did
right?
Did he? Okay. Yeah. Like, I honestly couldn't tell, because it's like, oh, his eye just turned off. Did she just snap his net? And now he's gone.
I don't think so.
I believe he robo-ghosted away to robo-ghost another day.
Hashtag robo-ghost.
And my hope is, Stephanie, I agree, I would like to see him explored a little bit more. I mean, I guess we know what his motivations are. Yeah. His motivations are, I'm a Cadmus robot who hates aliens, and I want to punch him. That's... it's pretty much, that's most
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would like to spend more time with him and see if we can flesh him out a little bit more than that, because we're doing such a great job doing that with everybody else.
Yeah. I felt like, yeah, they just kind of dropped it in there. There was a lot to get through in this episode tonight, and, like, they did a great job with most of the storylines. I just felt like that one was, like, dropped in, and I hope in the second half of the season it's explored a little more.
Yeah. But they can spend a little more time on it.
Yeah.
Because the idea of Hank Henshaw surviving and coming back to be this force with Cadmus is really interesting, and I agree with you, it just hasn't had enough time yet.
Yeah.
I think that if they do decide to explore it the next half of the season, it will be a good opportunity for them to kind of play out the Metallo storyline, but with a character that we already know. I mean, we've had Metallo, but he was a one-off.
We've
had multiple Metallos, and he was one-off, and he also wasn't very much explored, but this gives us the opportunity for this character who was once human and is now a robot and has maybe no purpose if he's disavowed by Cadmus, to kind of explore what that means to him.
And it would be a way very easily to work Jeremiah back into the story, because we know he's off running around somewhere doing Jeremiah stuff.
He's in the vents.
Yeah. He's with Terry Hatcher. Just like Cyborg Superman went to Westworld. I can just explain these things with other TV shows.
Oh, sweet.
I'll roll with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, I think you're right that there's a lot more that can be explored. So I'm glad he's alive. It would have bummed me out if that was all that we had seen of him. And I hope that he gets his own agency as we go along. And he's, like, making his own plans and being his own schemer.
Yeah.
Killing people his own self.
He gets his own and big ass upside down.
You know? I'm definitely down for more Harewood v. Harewood in the future.
Yes, that was so awesome. Yes. And we wanted that last week. So, yeah, we got it. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. Can I say that this was probably one of my favorite fights this season, mostly because we get a green white Martian fighting Cyborg Superman. That was bananas.
I was squeeing everywhere. there was squee happening.
Bananas.
I think I'm the only person in this panel who thinks the whole turning into a white Martian thing was just dumb from the get-go. I am glad it gave us that fight. I am glad it culminated in that. But talk about a throwaway plot device. It's like, oh no, it's terrible. Oh, it's scared. We're good.
That exactly is my issue with it. And it was one of the relatively few but fairly significant issues I had with this episode, which was, okay, so the reason the white Martian thing worked for me, Katie, which we talked about a little bit past couple of weeks, all season, we've been dealing in stories about identity and about prejudice, and when they introduce this concept where he's not dying, he's transforming into this thing that he hates, I thought it would be potentially an incredibly powerful and compelling way to explore the idea of having to walk in the shoes of that which you are prejudiced against. And I was excited because of the potential I saw there. We ultimately didn't end up doing that. We ended up making it go away really quickly.
It was a cheap drama grab.
I feel that they're not done with it, though. When he sees Magan again, that he'll discuss his feelings as to what it felt like to be in the white Martian shoes.
And that's the scene that I'm looking forward to. If that happens, like having that conversation of what it was like to walk in someone else's shoes, that's an interesting scene. What happened tonight was a little, it moved quickly.
Now, the flip side to that coin for me is that moment of, for once you're right, Henshaw, I am a monster. And he turns into the white green Martian. I was like, yes, this is amazing.
I wanted it to be forever that he was going to be this thing. I mean, I get that they wanted it. I think that next season, they really want us to be able to focus on the upcoming stuff. And I think that that would have kind of hindered us a little bit.
Yes.
So I get why they did it.
Yeah, I do as well, and I don't fully think we're done exploring this concept.
Right.
It just seemed weird to...
It was very quick.
Eliminated so quickly, yes.
Here it is. There it goes.
Yeah.
And that's what made it feel like... I have a set amount of patience for these shows, and when it exceeds that amount of patience, I just kind of start laughing and find it all hilariously dumb and still continue to enjoy it. That bit of plot was already beyond my borders of patience to begin with, so I found the whole thing just like, this is a cheap drama grab, and the execution in this episode didn't help. I understand what you're saying with the scene with Magan, and I think you guys have a really good point. I'm definitely looking forward to that scene, but the lead up to it has not been stellar.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, like, the way that it has been executed has been... What?
I'm just giggling at Tari.
Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. I'm just giggling at Tari.
What do I do?
I'm just giggling at Tari.
I have feelings, Lex. Don't laugh at my feelings.
We always laugh at your feelings.
you had this moment of like, yeah. Like with this silent moment of like, yeah.
I was taking it in. I want to be able to take the energy that everyone's giving and their thoughts, and I want to boil them down into a small noodle and slurp that noodle through this. Anyways.
I threw off your groove.
I definitely understand what you're saying about it being, like, something that's simply used for drama. There was a lot of potential that we've talked about, and the way that it was resolved was a little quick, which I imagine they have a very short episode run. I think it's 16 total for this whole season.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So they really got to be real tight about it. So we can only imagine that what's coming is a lot bigger than that small piece. And we also have a human dealing in viruses that are alien, so there's a chance that it could relapse.
Sure.
So there's a multitude of ways that this could be what we wanted it to be, or ways that it could just disappear. We'll have to find out. But you know what I'd like to find out?
Yes.
What?
How you guys feel over on iTunes. Hey, do you love what we're doing? We love what we're doing.
It's true.
Yeah.
I love the pauses, like you're expecting an answer from the audience.
I'm letting
like they're sitting there going, "Yes, I like what you're doing."
I'd like to imagine you're doing that right. Are. I'd like to imagine that they're like, "Yeah, Tari, this show's great." Which, if they wrote that in all caps in our comments below after leaving a 5-star rating on iTunes, I think we'd really appreciate that. We'd read them out.
Yeah.
We'd it would make my day.
It would make
me
feel really good inside.
And we love shout-outs on this show. We shouted out people before, and we'll shout you out again if you give us 5 stars.
You all done right. So you know what to do. We talk about this all the time. This is what keeps our lights on, lets our producers know that we're doing a great job, and also lets us know that you love it and that we're not speaking out into a void, even though we would talk about this, whether you are there or not. But we appreciate you being there. So make sure to go onto iTunes and leave a 5-star rating. 4 stars if you don't like what we're doing, which is weird. And then go on to YouTube, if that's where you are, and make sure to hit that thumbs up so our producers are like, hey, people love this. It looks like there's a sweet, sweet review that's happening.
Oh, dude, there are a couple really good several, ones. Like,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, should we read
Let
all
me
of
just
them?
Get some
one of them is very complimentary of me. So that one's funny.
Do it.
Okay, because that guy has the best name, too. Best hype man ever. And I'm pretty sure that is true, dude, because this is a pretty sweet-ass 5-star review.
Yeah, you got it?
Y'all want a review? Throwback to the OG ZZZ at TAURYJAY. The supreme massive queen of the AfterBuzz jungle, since there is only one, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening around the world.
What?
Lucretia Lyon! Dodge the balls. I'm literally writing this as I'm listening to the show. You guys kick massive booty. 5 stars all around. And we've got 3 more 5-star reviews.
Oh, I want to see how that review is punctuated.
Oh, it's fun.
Like, I just want to see.
Extravagantly.
I just want to kill it.
It's amazing.
And your best Are You Ready to Rumble voice. Yeah.
All right. Well, slap him down.
All right. So, Thank Rel by Anthony Lowry. 5 stars again. Love this after show. Tari J brings it every week with amazing panel. Keep up the good work, girls and guys. 5 stars.
Nice.
Love this podcast. Britta Sinega.
Sinega, I believe.
Yeah, there we go, Lex. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Assist. I really love Supergirl, and I also really love all the hosts on this podcast. They're so funny and informative, and I look forward to this podcast every week. This is honestly a favorite podcast.
Aww.
And the last one is Great After Show by Oscar Rendon. Love hearing all the awesome references all my other friends don't get. Also, are we going going to skip over the fact that Kara and the Dio pretty much bullied Mon-El into being a superhero. LOL, I can't be the only one who noticed.
Yeah, that's how you make superheroes. You shame them into it. Ask Uncle Ben.
With great power comes great responsibility. Now be Spider-Man, bitch. They cut that part out.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Who is that guy dying on the street, and why does he... Doesn't matter, motivation.
That's what his t-shirt says. It's weird. anyways, thanks again for your sweet, sweet comments. Thank you for watching. We really do appreciate it. We heart you. And thank you for all the really great feedback. It really does warm our hearts, and it's why we do this every week and why we keep coming back to entertain you and entertain ourselves. So
we do have an answer in the chat for season length. Supposedly Supergirl is 22 episodes and it's Legends that's 16.
I know Legends Legends got an additional 3 or 4 on top of what their initial order for the season was. But I was under the impression that Supergirl was also 22. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I might have.
Yeah,
had
there's talk about the season finale was early because they started production later.
Gotcha.
Which would make sense, and that would also mean that Supergirl would probably run after Flash and Arrow, or run through the random March-long breaks that Flash and Arrow like to take for some reason.
Yeah. Okay. There's a chance that I read an early article that was like, I think that this is how many episodes it was. And I'm like, that's true. Speaking of truth.
Truth.
No.
Alex decides to tell the truth to her mom.
Major truth feelings.
But it takes her a little while.
It does.
I like that it was a really slow burn. And I like that her mom was really accepting about it. Like, I mean, I personally felt like it was a very tender moment. I mean, do you guys feel like it was organic enough? Did you guys feel like it was... It warmed your hearts. Did you hate it?
It was really sweet. It was, exactly. I feel like the reaction she needed.
Yeah.
I hated it, Tari. Oh, my God. No, it was actually
I was like, whoa.
I was like, wow.
Dissenting opinion.
I have opinions, but not that one. No, I liked it. I like that we got to see this development from her over the past few episodes, and I like that this was the culmination of it. I will say that it coming about in the science lab felt a little bit like, well, we need to do it. Now's a good time.
And we're all here.
Like, we're here. Let's do the thing. Cue the piano music. Let's start. So I thought the lead-in was a little weird. But the scene itself was fantastic.
Yes, I loved it quite a bit. I really love seeing Helen Slater back. And I love that in her own way, she got to be Supergirl again in this episode.
Yeah.
More than once. More than once. It like genuinely, there were a couple of times where I was like, oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Can we keep her? Can Mom just be a main character now and keep coming back?
I think they need her own contract. She saved Mon-El. And I just feel, since this is about all of us, we need to read it. That was such a great comment from Reviews to View. So this guy is a professional reviewer. He said, you guys are doing great. I enjoy Tari's thoughts, Lex's jokes, Lucretia's show references, and Stephanie's compassion.
Aww. Katie needs to leave.
And Katie's great couch sitting.
And Katie.
They enjoy you on Arrow.
I'm sure they do. Nobody enjoys me on Arrow. I'm just there to be a smartass.
That's cute. I like that. I'm sorry. I'm so flabbergasted. Everyone's being so nice to me. I can't. Okay. Enough. I'm back. I felt like just the moment that... Eliza came up and was like, I know you, honey. I thought that was very genuine and really well done in that, especially because they are a very close family, that it would make sense that she'd notice that Alex has been off and she would notice that there's something that's really bothering her. And I like that she put together the pieces. I think it would have been weird if it was at the Thanksgiving scene like she had originally planned.
Especially because she was drunk and it would have been ruined. And then you actually got the nice family moment. And that's one thing is like, did Barry really screw that up? No, he saved it.
Yes.
He's got a lot of karma to make up for.
Though it is a little bit like taking the microphone away from like the belligerently drunk uncle at the wedding who just wants to keep talking.
Yes, yeah. The drunkle. Yes.
Poor Petey Mailer.
I did like the secrets don't become you line. I thought that was pretty dang good.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's all I think about that section of the show.
And the award for most awkward segue goes to...
this guy!
This guy, Jay Garrick.
But I also really love the scene between Maggie and Alex. Both of them, where she's sewing her up. They have so much chemistry. I've said this before, but they are so cute together, and I hate how cute they are together because it you don't get to see it enough.
Yeah, you call the show a laboratory. It rots your teeth. There's so much chemistry on it.
Oh,
I gotta say, because we were talking before the episode, and Stephanie, you mentioned that you feel sometimes like maybe you and I watch the show for two entirely different reasons.
Yes.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like what you maybe meant by that is that you're very excited by a lot of the like warm, fuzzy relationship stuff.
Absolutely.
So, here's the thing. I feel as though I am increasingly almost just as excited as you are because all of these people are just so dang charming.
I have to admit,
one of us.
I got so excited tonight because normally I turn to you when there's like a big reveal, comic book reveal.
When
right?
someone turns into an alien, you always look at me.
Yeah, and it's the best. Like his reactions are the best. But tonight I turned to you when I was freaking out over some of the relationship stuff, and you were also freaking out, and it brought such joy.
Because we would both just turn and smile and like nod at each other. Yeah. Like, yeah, they cute.
I felt like this was the time. Like we've been leading up to it. We've had her coming out, and she had that moment where she says, "I came out for me and not you," which was great. And then we get the big kiss.
Yes.
Which was smooch-tacular.
Hashtag.
Smooch-tacular. which was great. And I really look forward to seeing their relationship. The relationship I don't look forward to not seeing is Kara and Monel. What?
So a couple of things.
The English major in me is crying at that double negative.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean. It is an interesting juxtaposition because we have in this episode what feels like a couple dealing with their relationship in a very mature and measured way, like grown-ups.
Yes.
And we have another equally adorable couple that are dealing with it like very young high schoolers.
Yes. And it's totes adorable.
It's it's cute.
It's so cute. I know you're less a fan, but I am so on board with both of these couples.
And I know why, Tari, is because you want her to be with Lena, and I have a solution. Her and Lena just need to be best friends forever. And then eventually they'll just run off together, because that's what best friends do, like Thelma and Louise.
Of course.
But Kara and Mon-El right now.
Except Kara can fly, so the cliff wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, yes, oh my god.
They're still going down. Yeah, why are you still sitting here? Why are we still sitting here?
I thought we were referencing that one movie.
I
ship it like FedEx at Christmas. I am absolutely down for this, but I'm also really tired of all the media I watch doing this thing where it's like we cement the relationship and then one person doesn't remember it. We did this in Critical Role and I was literally screaming at the TV, I'm not doing this again.
So I wanted to ask you guys, because I wasn't sure how you all read it. I read that last look as he turns and watches her leave as he does remember and isn't telling her.
I don't think he's clever enough to play it off like he doesn't remember.
I disagree because he was like, well, did anything else happen? And like, he definitely knew something happened there.
That really felt like fishing to me.
Yeah. And so I was like, I have to say that I felt like he knew that they had some moment. I don't know if he remembered the kiss specifically, but he knew like emotionally they had connected in some capacity. That's what I felt like by the end of that scene.
I think he knew that because of the way Kara approached it, saying, oh, well, we need to talk about what happened between us. And that implies, like, yeah, there is a thing that occurred, and me drooling all over myself was not part of the thing that occurred, but okay.
See, he remembers a feeling, but he doesn't know exactly what happened, which is why he was fishing. But, yeah, you know, I've seen this trope before. And it usually leads to totally adorable reveals.
Remember that time when you were almost dying and you kissed me? Yeah, I'm really glad that we already mentioned that the virus could not be passed between organisms because otherwise I would have been yelling like a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little bit. Virus.
Aww.
Wait, quit mouth kissing sick people. That's how you get sick.
Do you want the sickness? That's how we get sickness.
quit mouth kissing sick people, you guys. This has been a public service announcement from your friends at AfterBuzz TV. Yeah.
The more you know. We just need that little star in the sound cue.
No. So we're running short on time. So two quick things that we need to cover. There are apparently space people who are looking for Mon-El for some space reason. And so they're scouring space.
Space reason.
And we also had the Flash and gang show up and be all like, OMG, bro. We need you over in our Earth, bro. So those are the things that we last saw. There aren't very much details with that, so I think it's a good segue into prediction.
We need to talk about Lara. Lena. God.
Lena. Mm-hmm.
It has been a very long night, y'all.
Guys,
we haven't really talked about Lena.
It's on my wall and everything. Guys.
She's your favorite.
She is. I love her.
Well, no.
I wanted to leave my wife out of this.
Oh.
Yes, I loved the moment that she had with her mom.
Yeah.
She really came into her own this episode and distinguished herself from the Luther family.
Yes.
I loved that, because I was like, there's no way that she's legal, because I was like totally making best friends forever memes about her and Kara.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, better not be wasting my time here. And then it's like, oh yeah, I'm not evil. I was totally set this up and saved the day. And it's like, yes, you did.
Yeah. Though, do you guys feel like, because I feel this way, that it would have been more... Do you feel like it might have been more interesting if she was evil to prove herself to her mother?
No. Mm-mm. After what we already had, after we had these conversations where you never really loved me, you telling me that you loved me was lying to me, etc., etc., she feels no need to prove herself to her mother. She is trying to distance herself from the family legacy of being the evil League of Evil. And so, for her to try to turn around and prove herself is out of character for what we've established. We need a very good reason, and this episode didn't really provide it. So, I don't think it would have been more interesting for her to have just been like, yep, I'm evil now, gonna be a Luther, it's gonna be great. Like, I wouldn't have bought it if they'd actually played that seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that if they are going to turn her evil, it will have to be something, like, really bad happens to her, someone she cares about, to where she's like, oh, I'm getting straight up revenge, like Emily Thorne style. And that I wouldn't mind seeing. That was a show.
Those are the show references that guy was talking about.
Anyway.
Toy Man was in it.
But they played it straight faced long enough that even I was starting to go like, okay, maybe this is actually what we're doing. And we got enough in this episode that I would be able to follow it, but ultimately I agree. I would have ended up feeling like, well, I wish we had spent more time building this internal conflict with Lena if this was what we were building towards. And much to my great delight, she was actually playing her mom, and she not only switched out the isotope, but called the cops, and Mike dropped, peaced out to marry Borba T. Mailer.
They sold it long enough for us to start buying it and then be mad that the writing was bad. And then it turned out that the writing was good. So that's, yeah.
I like to imagine that whoever wrote it was like, oh man, they're going to think we're hacks, and then we're going to turn it on their heads.
Secretly, we're brilliant.
And we're going to be like, I thought they were bad for a second, and now they know they're not. I think they're twice as good.
Yeah. It's called The Prince and the Hog. Anyways, now, back to predictions.
Yeah.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we got to do some sweet, sweet Flash predictions. Pun intended.
Duh, duh, duh. Oh, yeah, Ivan Soto wants to point out, remember Cisco correcting Barry's friend comment? And I was like, yes, I do. So I predict that Cisco is still pissed about that whole, my brother's dead because of you, Barry.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Supergirl-centric predictions, you alluded to these aliens we see that are looking for Mon-El. Are they, you know, the last vestiges of Daxam as well? Are they another alien species? The crossover that we're going to see play out this week pulls heavily, I believe, from the crossover event Invasion from 1989, mm-hmm. where the Dominators, who we know are showing up in this crossover, put together this alien alliance of a bunch of other nefarious species. Among them are the Daxamites. So maybe there's something there, but as far as I know, the Dominators are the only alien force to contend with in this crossover. So I'm assuming this is something we're not going to pick up again till we come back from this break.
Right. And I'm curious about the Daxamites. Do they all look like Mon-El? If so, this seems like a cool planet, right?
Yeah.
We can all agree that that seems pretty awesome. But, I think I'm excited just for this crossover to kind of really gear in. I think that knowing where the storyline is with The Flash, I think this is kind of the opportunity that there's going to be a lot of story that can happen with the crossover. We kind of got that taste of it tonight for the first 45 seconds, or the last 45 seconds, but now we'll hopefully get like a full hour tomorrow, right? Like,
More. I think it's going to be a four-course meal of a crossover. We got the appetizer tonight. And
so does that mean that Flash is the salad, Arrow's the meat, and Legends of Tomorrow is the dessert?
I would totally agree with Legends being the dessert.
The analogy tracks pretty well. Actually, trying to think of it.
Katie. That's why you keep me. Supergirl-specific predictions. I'm going to go ahead and throw out that Mon-El was actually the prince. He wasn't a palace guard. He was the person in charge, and that's why they're looking for him.
We've definitely talked about that before, and I agree with you. I think that that's what it will be, and then I think that leads to a second half of the season having Kara figure that out.
Yeah. As for crossover predictions, I don't know that we have enough right now to start trying to figure that out, aside from salad, meat, dessert.
Yeah. I mean, we have the next episode preview, which gives a lot away, so I'm really hesitant to, like, talk about it. I mean, we find out stuff. Watch the next episode preview.
Was it a preview for next episode, or was it a preview for the whole dang thing? Because I got a whole dang thing vibe from it.
I mean, yes. Either way, it felt really spoilery.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really, I don't want to make predictions on it. I will say that I think that Medusa will be used to ultimately thwart the Dominators.
Interesting.
That's a thought. Yeah. But did she bring Medusa with her through the dimension is the problem, because if she didn't, then they don't have it.
Yeah, but they could just, like, Kara's mom.
Oh, yeah. Or literally just Sisko, try three more times to vibe us back so we can grab that vial.
Yeah.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, Mom, I need to borrow this. Thanks, bye.
Yeah.
You've got Dr. Caitlin Snow, Dr. Stein, Dr. Sexy Adam.
You've got, five Tom Cavanaughs. Yeah. I'm sure they can come up with something. Also, I guess Killex is dead now, the little robot.
That poor little robot.
Yeah.
Really quick. Okay. So before we wrap, Tari, before we started, you told me something Killex specific really bugged you, and I want to know if it was the same thing that bugged me, although you seem a little more peeved than I am.
Well, mostly it's that, like, Killex, when Cyborg Superman came in there, he's like, "Who are you? What you doing? Oh, I guess you're Kara now." And then when Kara came, he's like, "I'm going to murder your face."
There's an intruder. It's you.
Yeah.
When he was leaving, did he say, "By the way, I'm an intruder now, so the next time I come in, kill me"?
He programmed it.
Okay, so that wasn't actually what bugged me a little bit. That I wrote off as, well, he had her DNA, and once he was in, he could probably, if I can buy Martian Manhunter exist, I'll buy that.
Okay.
but for me, it was that the robot, who is a robot, approached her going, "Kara, there is an intruder here." And she had to actually go, "Who? Where's the intruder?" For him to go, "You. You are the intruder." Why was the robot programmed to be coy about this point? That seems very, very strange.
I just loved your little head motions, like, "You. You are the intruder." If you're not watching this on YouTube, it's worth it just for that.
I think that Alex is programmed with a certain amount of sass, and he just turned it up. He's like, "Hey, I want you to be real sassy about this." And he's like, "All right, I got this. This is my time to shine. Kalex, this is your time to be a star." And then he died.
There's a hole in him.
I think he became sentient after being stuck in the ice for so long, waiting for Superman to come back and talk to him.
Yeah.
He plays Pong lonely. On his own screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's boring.
And Cyborg Superman just leaves Ice Ice Baby to play over and over. Drove him insane.
Or he rip-rolled him.
No. All right, guys. No. I think I'm going to wrap this baby up because we've gone off the rails.
We had rails?
Like a crazy train.
Nice. Thanks again for joining us here on Supergirl AfterBuzz TV's After Show. Make sure to stay with us for the whole crossover this week. 4-day crossover next week. Next tomorrow.
4-week crossover. You get the last one on Christmas.
No, really though, thanks for joining us this evening. We'll be here for the next 4 days covering the four-way crossover. I can't say words. But between the episodes, make sure to keep track with us on social media. More words. Pass them on to Lucretia Lyon.
I can say words too, guys. Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And I'm here all week, except on The Flash. But you can keep up with me on the rest of the shows, as well as these other people. We're doing the crossover, guys.
I am Lex Michael, all over social media at TheLexMichael. I, too, am all over this crossover all week, including The Flash. We are also talking about Invasion, the 1989 crossover that in part inspired this event on Comic Book Exchange on Wednesday. We also do Ash vs. Evil Dead on Sunday. So many places to come nerd out with us. Please do. It's here, guys. Crossover, it's happening. I'm super excited. Aliens are coming!
Yes, tell me what you think of the crossover at Stephanie Wenger, all over in the internet.
Nice. Katie?
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I am here for the appetizer and the meat course of this crossover, so you can find me on Arrow on Wednesday night. You can also find me Mondays. We do Z Nation. Tuesdays, Star Wars Rebels. Wednesdays, of course, Arrow. Thursdays alternates between Ruby and Robots in Disguise. This week it is Ruby. Also, Steven Universe is finally back. Holy cow. So that's on Thursday as well. I live here. I am enjoying this crossover. Christmas has come early.
And thank you for joining us, Katie.
Oh, indeed. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Crossover. And you can find me at Tari J, TARIJAY, and all over the sweet ABTV, CW, DC Universe crossover.
That one.
Alphabet soup.
And as we mentioned before, this is the mid-season finale, so we won't be here next week, so make sure to keep up with us until we come back after the winter at the previously mentioned handles that we said before. Thank you for joining us, and have a super holiday season!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Crossover, 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 crossover.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.